12. Lord willing, we'll go through this today and finish up Daniel and then scratch your head and think, wow, what was that all about again? probably need to go back through it a couple more times. There's a lot in Daniel, and really, what's so neat about Daniel, it was prophecy when God gave it to him, but a lot of this, a big portion of this, has already taken place. So you can go back and you can go down through history, and you can see how these four different kingdoms have come and gone, and of course there are other kingdoms that are as well, and we're going to see more of those as we get into the book of the Revelation and on, talking about those different kingdoms. But there's still one that's still has influence in our world today, and that's the Roman Empire. Their influence is still felt as we are living even today. But one day they will be destroyed as well. But in Daniel chapter 12, we're going to go back and, or we're basically going to look at this verse, but actually, I think it's 10, 11, and 12. All three of these chapters are prophetic. In chapter, I think it's 10, it really shared with us a little bit about the Antichrist and his coming and what was going to happen there. 11, we saw a lot of that was Antiochus Epiphanes and what he did. And then when you get to verse 36, that's when it turned again to the end times, talking about the Antichrist and what was going to take place, which leads into chapter 12. In chapter 12, we're just going to read it, and then we'll look at it for the next few moments. So let's begin reading. It says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river, and the other on that side of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times, and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way, or thou thy way, till the end. For thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your words. We thank you for the book of Daniel. And as we have studied it, we've seen how Daniel, in chapter 1, a man who purposed in his heart that he was going to do right, no matter what it cost him, his life or some physical ailment, he was willing to take the stands. We saw that when he was cast in the lion's den. We saw that with his three friends who were cast in the fiery furnace. Again, being reminded that there is a sacrifice for serving the Lord Jesus Christ and being obedient to him. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be willing to do those things, not that we have to, but you would guide and direct in each one of our lives, especially as we see the days approaching. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So here we see in this last chapter, it's talking about the great tribulation, and it's being exposed to us at this final chapter again. He says, and at that time, and really that's what he's talking about. The time is speaking of the Antichrist revealed, that's what chapter 11 and 36 through 45 basically talked about, was the Antichrist is going to be revealed. What happens prior to the Antichrist being revealed? Anybody know? The rapture. Where can we find that in the Bible? It talks about the rapture. There's a lot of places that it indicates, but there's one chapter it's really clear. Actually, two. One's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's right. Go ahead and turn over there. What's the other one that shares some about that? Anybody know? That's, I'm not talking about little inklings of it. It's all through the Bible. You can see it. There's another place that clearly reveals it in a twinkling of an eye. Yeah, that's right. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, this is before the Antichrist is revealed, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 shares that as well. We'll go there in just a minute. But here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we're very familiar with. In fact, I shared it this morning. As you look here in verse 13, it explains some things. And again, the church there at Thessalonica, these folks were concerned about the rapture, when it was going to occur, how it was going to take place, and especially those people who had already died that were professing Christians. And so they're asking these questions. And so Paul is writing to them and trying to encourage them. And so he starts this verse 13. He says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." He's saying, I want to explain to you exactly what happens to those that are in Christ Jesus that are not alive in the body, basically. And of course, we know from 2 Corinthians, which we shared this morning, chapter 5, it tells us that if we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord. Now, that's not talking about the bodily resurrection. That's talking about our spirit, our soul goes to heaven, and that's where we'll be with the Lord. One day, we will have a bodily resurrection, and that's what he's talking about right here. Verse 14 says, "For if we believe," and that is so important, if we believe, in other words, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, and you believe that he died, rose again, and he says, "Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." So this is talking about the church. It's talking about every single Christian, and of course those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus, and more succinctly have been born again. You have to be born again, okay? That's another way of saying it, but to me, that's one of the most clearest indications someone's saved. They understand the new birth. And so here, if you've been born again and you're sleeping, you're going to be with him. And verse 15 says, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." Now, everybody's dead in Christ when you put your faith and trust in Jesus in the spiritual sense, right? But he's specifically talking about those that have been born again that are physically dead. They're going to rise first. Now, I heard a preacher say this. This is probably not true, but the reason they rise first is so they'll be caught up with us, because they got to start 6 feet lower than we are. Oh, I know it's stupid, but anyway. See what happens when you hear things? Anyway, never mind. But anyway, they're going to rise first. Well, it's no different than, you know, you pass the graveyard and you say, "Hey, people are dying to get in there." But anyway, that's stuck in my head. I'll probably never get rid of that either. But anyway, let's go on. Okay, sorry. 17 says, "Then which then we, talking about Christians that are alive, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So prior to the revealing of the Antichrist, go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for a second. This also shares some of that, just kind of building up so we can go back to Daniel here in a minute. But in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this kind of lays out a little bit. It's a little tricky when you read through here. Let's begin in verse 1, and we'll just go down through here. It says, "Now we beseech you," this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye not soon shaken in mind or be troubled." So first he's talking about that the Christ is coming back and we're going to be gathered together. He says, I don't want you to be shaken or troubled, excuse me, by this. He says, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. In other words, telling them the rapture hasn't occurred yet. It's still coming. It's still forthcoming. Verse 3 says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be some, come a falling away first. That's the first thing that's going to happen. There's a falling away. We can already see a falling away. We can see people that are turning from God, turning from the things of God. We're getting closer and closer to the days of Noah that he speaks of. He also tells us like the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. That's, we're in those days right now as well. What was Sodom and Gomorrah about? It was about the sensuality. It was about homosexuality, all those things. And we saw a speaker talking about prophecy the other day, and he said that's one of the prophecies that has been fulfilled, is that days are coming to be more like Sodom. So, of course, the next thing on the prophetic calendar is the rapture. But let's go on. And he says, let no man deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This is talking about the Antichrist, okay, when he is revealed, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. That's what the Antichrist is doing. He opposes God. He opposes all those Christians as well that are following God, or that is worshiped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God. So he's going to come and he's going to present himself as Jesus Christ. People in this world are going to be fooled. They're going to think this is the Messiah, the Antichrist, okay? Anti is opposite of Christ. He says, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. He said, remember, I explained some of this. And again, as we study the Bible, we have to be reminded ourselves over and over and over again, because it's easy to lose sight of these things or forget these things. So it's important that we continue to go back through them. That's why it's important to read your Bible as much as you can and as often as you can. So verse 6, he says, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, what is talking about the one who withholdeth or the one who is letting will let? Does anybody have any idea what that is talking about? Yes. The Holy Spirit. When is the Holy Spirit going to be taken away? The rapture. Where's the Holy Spirit live? Inside of the believers, the church. So when we are raptured out, he who letteth, see the importance of why we're here. As long as we're here, we're to be doing the work of Christ, because we are keeping the world from running rampant and becoming like the days of Noah. We have an influence in this world because why? We have the power of God living inside of us. God is the Almighty. But when he says it's over, he's going to take us all out, and I don't know how it's going to sound, maybe like whoosh, or whoopee, I don't know, whatever. We're out of here, and I'm not trying to be funny, too funny. But we're going to get out, it's getting late. We'll be out of here just like that, in a twinkling of an eye, we'll be gone, and once we're out of here, that which let is gone, which is the Holy Spirit. It says, and then shall that wicked be revealed. Who's the wicked? Antichrist, exactly, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. When Jesus comes back, he's going to deal with him, okay? He's going to be gone. So when this occurs, do we know anything about the time frame of what's going to happen? Craig? What is it? What happens after this? The time frame. Okay. That's what I was getting for. You said 3.5, and I know what you're talking about. I was just waiting for you to say 7 years. It begins a 7-year period. And during that period, as Greg expressed, we're going to be out of here. We're going to have the marriage supper with the Lord. That'll take place. The judgment seat of Christ will take place. All that'll be done, because when he comes back, we're coming back with him at the end of the 7 years. But during the 7-year period, 3.5 of those years, Russia, I believe, is going to come down and attack And the Antichrist and his army are going to fight. They're going to fight for 3.5 years because the Antichrist made peace with Israel. And he's going to protect them for 3.5 years. But then after that 3.5 years, he's going to break that peace treaty, and he himself and his armies are going to attack Israel. And the Lord's going to protect Israel. And of course, there's going to be a lot of people saved. We know 144,000 for sure, it tells us in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, Jewish people, not Jehovah Witness, Jewish people, it lists the tribes, will be saved through this. The gospel will be preached. People will get saved. And then at the end of that 7-year period, as Greg suggested, Jesus Christ is coming back and we are coming back with him. So that's what this is kind of helping us, because the Lord's going to take care of it. So that's the whole prophetic calendar right there in those few passages. It tells us in that timeline when you study Scripture to compare with Scripture, okay? So as we go on, the wicked ones revealed, Jesus Christ came back, and then it said, verse 9, even him, talking about Satan or Antichrist, who is coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. Again, the Antichrist is going to have his way with those people on this earth at that particular time. It's going to be a lot of people. And verse 11 says, and for this cause, this is interesting and it's not good for a lot of people. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they might all be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I believe what this is trying to teach us is that if you heard the gospel, a clear presentation of the gospel, you were drawn by the Spirit of God, and you knew the you had a choice, and you chose to reject Christ. For instance, today, you were a witness to, and you knew in your heart that you ought to do this, and you don't do it, and the rapture occurs, and you go into the tribulation period, you will not be able to understand the gospel. Because God Himself will send you a delusion. You will believe a lie, because you lived in unrighteousness when you had the opportunity. After that time period, you don't have that opportunity if you heard the gospel. The people that get saved in the tribulation period are people who have never heard the gospel. Okay? Does that make sense? Anybody ever heard that before? Okay. So, in 2 Thessalonians is explaining some of this to us. Let's go back to, I'm not going to go to 1 Corinthians 15, we'll do that some other time. But let's go back to Daniel. And so he's talking about the prophecy of the end times. and of course, it's talking about that this guy is going to prosper till the end. It's talking about the Antichrist. Revelation 13:5 says, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 40 and 2 months. 40 and 2 months is 3.5 years, okay? And that's what Antichrist is going to have, that opportunity. So Daniel is talking about this prophecy. It goes back to Daniel 9 as well. We learned about the 70 weeks. There are 70 weeks in this program that God has. Who is the program designed for? Anybody know? The 70-week program. Who is it designed for? The people on this earth. What people is it designed for initially? Israel, that's right. The whole program is for Israel. Why did Israel become God's chosen people? Because of Abraham. He believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. And that very fact is God chose those people. He gave them the Ten Commandments. He walked with them. He led them. He guided them all the way through up to the point of the tribulation. He's going to do that the whole way through. But they have been blinded. God has blinded them when they would not receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, when they, you can go back to the book of Isaiah, he blinded them way back then when they wouldn't listen to his prophets. So we have come to the point now in Daniel chapter 12. This is all prophecy still. It's not been done yet. It's on its way. He says, and at that time shall Michael stand. Now, Michael, as he is identified here, this is the third time that Michael is mentioned in the book of Daniel. I think Michael is only mentioned in the Bible 4 times, if I got it right. Maybe 5. Can't remember. But definitely, I think it might be five, yeah. But anyway, he's mentioned three times here. Two of the times he was helping Gabriel when Gabriel was trying to get to Daniel. Remember, Daniel prayed and he was trying to seek the Lord, and Gabriel couldn't get to him because there was a prince, an antichrist, that was holding him back. And so Michael came and Michael fought that guy or that prince, and Daniel came, or Gabriel came to Daniel and gave him the vision. In chapter 10. So he's mentioned twice in chapter 10, two times Michael came to help Gabriel. And then here we see he's called the great prince. He says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people." The children of thy people mentioned here are the Israelites. Daniel is writing to the Jewish nation. He's called the great prince. And then Jude, he's also mentioned in Jude chapter 9, he is the archangel. It says, "Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee." In other words, Michael was not strong enough to defeat the devil. It was the Lord that rebuked the devil. And again, he has power, but his power, again, is from the Lord, and he himself didn't have that power. Go to Revelation chapter 12 for a second. We're talking about Michael. In Revelation chapter 12, look at verse 7. Revelation chapter 12. So Michael's going to stand up. It's talking about this period here in Revelation. You can compare it with Daniel. Verse 7, chapter 12, says, "And there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven." So here we see that Michael is standing up. He is fighting this battle with the devil and his angels, and they're going to be kicked out forever. And of course, the thought here is that Satan has had access to God throughout the time, through the ages up to this point. We do have an example in Job's day, excuse me, in Job chapter 1, it says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And so the point is there has been a spiritual warfare all the way up to this time that Michael takes care of this situation. The devil, when in Isaiah chapter 14, when he said, I want to be like the Most High God, was cast down on this earth. And from that time to up to here, he's been active trying to destroy, trying to tempt, trying to woo people to him. Why? So he can stand before a holy God and, number one, say, "Look at your servant Job. He doesn't believe in you. He doesn't follow you. He doesn't trust your words." He couldn't do that, could he? Because Job didn't sin. He may do that for me because I'm not Job. But that's where he's going to be. And throughout this time, Satan, he has been the accuser of the brethren. Look at verse 10 in chapter 12. It says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." There again, that's that implication that Satan is there accusing you and accusing me to God that we are really not his servants. And he's doing that, it says here, day and night. So that's going to be done away with. Michael's going to stand up, and he's going to have this battle, this fight. Again, remember, when you study the book of Revelation, it does not go in chronological order. That means it doesn't go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There are parentheses in this book. In other words, there are things that he talks about that belong somewhere else in the book of Revelation. Does everybody understand that? Okay, so I just want you to think, because sometimes we get in our mindset that you read this and this is way in chapter 12 and we still got the Lord coming back and all this stuff. Well, this is a parenthesis, if you will, of this situation. So here we see that, again, Michael is going to stand up. Go back to Daniel. if you held your place there in Daniel chapter 12. I already mentioned the people, and this is speaking specifically about Israel. And of course, Israel is going to be saved. In Romans chapter 11, verse 26, it says, "And so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Revelation 7:14, "And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel." So he says all Israel is going to be saved in Romans chapter 11, verse 26. And of course, Paul's writing this. What he is saying, not everybody who's an Israelite is going to be saved. Is that right? Do you understand that? There are Israelites living today that will not be saved. Every Israelite or Jew today has to believe just like you and I. They have to put their faith and trust in Jesus. If they deny Christ, they will not be saved, okay? When he says all here, what he is speaking of, in general, the nation of Israel is going to be in existence when this is over. In fact, they're going to be in the millennium, and during that thousand-year reign, we who have been part of the church are going to come back, and we're going to rule in that kingdom where the children of Israel are, and others who went through the millennial and got tribulation and got saved. Is everybody confused? Just checking. It's hard to read you sometimes when. Okay, all right. I don't want to confuse anybody, and I know this is confusing. So, look at verse 2 and 3 again. It says in Daniel. It says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." This is talking about the Old Testament saints, okay? And here, the Old Testament saints, they are not going to be raptured out with the church. I personally believe, everything I've studied pretty much has indicated clearly that those that are in Christ, meaning those that are part of the church, are raptured out of this, off this earth, and we're going to be in heaven with the Lord, okay? The Old Testament saints are not brought up again until Revelation chapter 20, verse 4 and 6. I believe that's when they're going to be brought up. That's just in Daniel. It tells him, in fact, it tells Daniel he's going to sleep until the end, and it's right before the kingdom that they're going to be raised up, and it talks about they're part of the first resurrection. What is the first resurrection? It's not rapture, but it's also all the Old Testament saints after the tribulation, the martyred saints during the tribulation, all of those that be raised up, that is called the first resurrection. That's the resurrection to life. Okay? There is another resurrection. When is that? That's right, great right thumb. And that resurrection is not a resurrection to life, it's a resurrection to damnation. Because everybody raised during that period is going to be lost without Christ. So that's what he's talking about in verse 2 and 3. And then he comes to verse 4 and he says, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall be increased." So he tells Daniel here to just close this book up, seal it up, be done with it. And I believe he's talking about the book that Daniel's written for us today, Daniel chapter 1 through 12. He says, close this book up and just seal it up. And then it goes on and says, they'll be running to and fro and they're going to gain more knowledge. I think, as I've studied this out, that's talking about during the tribulation period, the Bible is still being in existence. For the Jews, they're going to look at this, they're going to see this, they're going to look in the Bible and study the Bible and realize that Jesus Christ is the only way. And they're going to put their faith and trust in Jesus during that time. They're going to be studying the Bible, trying to find out information. Because today the Jews don't believe this. They don't believe in the revelation. They don't believe in any of that. A lot of them do not even believe the Messiah is coming back. And so they've lost their way. They have no longer any ideas. Now, they can read the New Testament. They say, yeah, I've read it, but that's not our book. Our book is the Old Testament, and we don't believe those things. So they're completely blind to the things. And, of course, the Bible tells us that they will be. So here again, he said, seal the book up. They'll get more knowledge when they're, I believe, in the tribulation. He says, then I, Daniel, looked, and now he has a vision. Somebody's telling Daniel, are showing Daniel all these things that we've already seen. It says, Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, the one on this side of the bank of the river and the other side of the river, of the bank of the river. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? So somebody here who's clothed in white linen, who's standing on the river, I believe this is the same river he talked about in chapter 10, Hiddekel, or the Tigris River, that there is the Lord Jesus Christ himself standing there, just as in chapter 10 we saw, that he's there and he is telling Daniel all of these things. He's sharing these things with Daniel. There's two men there. In Daniel chapter 10, there were men with him at the same time, but when they heard the Lord Jesus Christ talk to Daniel, they were afraid and they hid themselves in Daniel chapter 10. I don't know if you remember that or not, but that's what took place. And so he's telling them this. Let's see here. Let's just look at Daniel chapter 10, verse 5 and 7. Just see the comparison here. Well, let's look at verse 4. It says, in the 4th and 20th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man, clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as the lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words were like the voice of a multitude. When we went back and looked in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, we saw this is a comparison of Jesus Christ. It's very similar. It says, and I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision. So it says, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. These may be the same two men. They may be angels. We do not know for sure, but I personally, as you study this and compare this with the chapter 12, I believe, again, the Lord Jesus Christ is revealing these things to Daniel in the very last chapter, talking about Michael, talking about what's going to take place as a tribulation and what's going to take place to the Jewish nation during that time. So he's on the water, and one of the men asked him, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, Jesus Christ, which is upon the waters of the river, which he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. Anybody know what time, times and a half? Did I already tell you what that was? Anybody know what that is? 3.5 years. Okay, so several times in the Bible you're going to see different notations of 3.5 years. 42 months, for instance, is a notation of 3.5 years. 1260 days is a notation of 3.5 years. It's using the Jewish calendar, which only has 360 days in a year versus ours, which has 365 days. And we talked a little bit about the calendar and how they change it ever so often and add another month to it or whatever. But anyway, so here we see that this is talking about that 3.5 years. It's the period of Jacob's trouble. It's the period when the Antichrist himself will be attacking the Jewish folks. He goes on, he says in verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? So again, Daniel, he's been given this information. We understand it better than Daniel did because we can look back. We can see the history. We can see all that's taken place. Daniel is looking forward and been given information. He doesn't even understand what he's being given here. He doesn't understand all of it. He hadn't seen all of it yet. In fact, the prophets, and it tells us that in Peter, that they wrote these things without even understanding what the end was. Because why? They got it from God. And God gave them these prophecies, so they penned them as he gave them. So Daniel is wondering what's going on here. And then verse 9 says, and he said, this is the Lord, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. And then he explains, he says, many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. He's talking about during the tribulation period where those 144,000 will put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many of those folks at that time are also going to be martyred. Revelation 11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to death. And so he's telling them there'll be a lot of people that are going to be saved during this time, but there are a lot of people who are not. A great majority will not accept Christ. In Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 17, it says, "And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive the mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number in his name." And what that is referencing to is the Antichrist or the beast, which they're all Antichrist, by the way. He will give or make people take a mark. It'll either be in their hand or on their forehead. And if you don't have that mark, and that mark, by the way, is 666. If you don't have that mark, you will not be able to buy anything or get anything from anywhere. You can't go to the store. You wouldn't be able to go to Fodder's and get groceries. They wouldn't let you have it. We're already close to that system. Everybody understands that. We have debit cards, credit cards. Today, we live in a cashless society for the most part. There are a few hanging on and holding out, but not everybody. In fact, when I went to buy one of my cars several years ago, I had the money in the bank and I wanted to pay for it right out. And he says, "You can do that, but you'll get none of the discounts. No deals. You have to go through the bank." I said, "Really?" He said, "Really. It would cost me more to give him a check than to take and get credit." I couldn't believe it. But anyway, I did it and I paid it off right away. But the point is that that's where we're going, is to this cashless society eventually. Without the mark, you'll not be able to buy or be able to get anything. So that's going to happen. And then he goes on, verse 11, he says, "And from the time," now this is a little bit confusing, well, all of it's probably confusing, but "and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days." So it's talking about these days, and really this is unclear because we know that the tribulation period is going to be 1,260 days. And he's talking about 1,290 days here. And then if you look at verse 12, he says, "Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days." And so there's another 1,335 days, another time. The thing we do know, it says there'll be a blessing at the end of that 1,335 days, but something's going to happen between the end of the tribulation and 30 days later and then 45 days later, and I couldn't tell you what it is to save my neck. I've studied that out. I cannot find it anywhere in the Bible. I've found what people think, and that's all I have is some suggestions, and some of those suggestions are it may be the time that they regather the people all together. Again, that's going to happen. I don't know how long that would take and if that's a big problem or whatever. And some have suggested that it might be time of judgment for the lost. Not talking about the great white throne, but those that are alive during the tribulation period that come through that, if any do. So again, I'm not sure what's going on there. So that's one of those mysteries we'll just have to, you study it out and you come to me and show me, I'll be glad to receive it. But I could not find any more details out of that. But then the last part we say is pretty clear. It says, "But go thou thy way," he's talking to Daniel, "till the end be. For thou shalt rest." When he says thou shalt rest, he is talking about you're going to die. You're not going to see these things, Daniel. You're not going to be alive. You're going to die. He says, "And stand in thy lot at the end of the days." In other words, you're going to die, and at the end of the tribulation period, you're going to be raised up as one of the Old Testament saints, to live in the first resurrection forever and ever and ever. And so that pretty much completes the book of Daniel. Anybody have any questions that I could answer? See, that's how I'm asking that one. No, just kidding. Anybody have any thoughts about Daniel? Did you learn anything in Daniel? Was it a help at all? Give me some feedback. I'm going to have to get papers and put them out and say, write some feedback. Anybody? Mm-hmm. Right. Thundering and lightnings. Right, thunders, yeah. Right. That could very well be. That's a good idea a good thought to might even match this up. So we don't know what's happening during that period at all. And Daniel here, he has no idea either. He's being told this by the Lord himself that these things were going to take place. But if you study these out in different passages, you'll find out the tribulation is clearly marked for 7 years, and then the last part, those seven thunderings, this could very well be that period of time that something's taking place that we don't know. Somebody else? Yeah, Rob? Did you raise your hand? No. Anybody else? Thoughts? That's good. Well, let me encourage you to go back and read the book of Revelation, and the book of Daniel, and do a study and try to go back and dig some of this out. I'm telling you, I'm probably not going to remember all those kings and how that all worked out. I know the northern and southern, they fought and they kept fighting. And Antiochus the fourth, I think it was, Epiphanes, he came as an antichrist. He was not the antichrist, and he tried to destroy Israel. He desolated the temple. He put a pig on the altar and all that. And of course, the Maccabees, Judas Maccabee came in, and he pushed them back and wiped them out. He set up the Feast of Lights, which the Jewish people celebrate today as Hanukkah. And so that's where that takes place and began. So there's some things in there that, studying out, it'll help you. And I think it's important just to know, have the concept and the idea of the most important part to me is that you can go and see, here's the history that Daniel prophesied that has taken place. This gives credence to the Word of God. When you can take something that this is said prior to it happening and it happened, you have something, a leg to stand on. You say, look at this, let me share with you. And someone who is seeking earnestly the Lord, they will be able to see and understand these things because God will reveal them to them. So, anyway, any other thoughts? All right, let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for the book of Daniel. Yes, we understand there's some hard things for us to understand even today. We can study these out, and there are things that we may never understand until we see you face to face. And Father, I just thank you so much for loving us and giving us your word, that even if we don't understand all of it, there are parts and bits that are very important. One of the biggest lessons that I have learned and been reaffirmed of is that we just need to put you first in our lives, that we need to purpose in our hearts that we're going to serve you no matter what. And through that, we see Daniel was used mightily of you. You guided and directed him. You put him in positions of authority. And probably many people saw him, and many people may have put their faith and trust in the Lord. In fact, we believe Nebuchadnezzar was one of those. And so, Father, help each one of us to understand that principle and to try to live according to your word. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.